time, without any further ado, let's prepare our hearts. I don't know what I know where D is coming from in terms of the message. I know what the message is going to be, because we have only one person out here at this church, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And only one message. That's the gospel of the grace of God. At this time, Deacon Howard Gavin is going to come forward now to teach and proclaim the gospel of the grace of God, the only gospel that should be preached in this dispensation.
Amen.
Deacon Howard Gavin, amen.
Thank you, Elder Liveman, and grace and peace to the household of faith. We certainly praise God for you being here. You probably can hear it in my voice, I have a cold. I wanted to be crystal clear today, but that was my plan. God had another. But we don't faint or shirk responsibility. As God gives the enablement, so we exercise what He has given us to do.
Amen.
Let us, first of all, have a word of prayer. I want you to bow your heads with me and pray. Now, dear and blessed Lord, our God and our Father, how we thank you, how we praise you, Lord God, for your goodness, your grace unto us extended. We thank you, Lord God, for all that are here and for the families represented, and yes, beyond these walls, O Lord, we thank you for the recipients of your grace throughout this earth of thine. We pray, God, great illumination and enlightenment through your blessed word, by and through the Holy Spirit, without whom, Lord, we cannot even comprehend. Now, Lord, give us each, serve to us each, Lord, that measure which you have for us this day. Bless your word unto my spirit, my understanding, Lord. Bless your people through this mouthpiece, through this vessel. We thank you. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want you to turn with me in your Bibles to the book of 2 Timothy. I trust that everyone has a Bible or have access to a Bible. The book of 2 Timothy, chapter 1, and we're going to deal with verses 7 through 11. 2 Timothy, chapter 1, verses 7 through 11. I'm going to ask some of my younger brothers and sisters, Sean and Avery, do y'all remember the significance of that song to Deacon Gavin, wherever Sean is? Only a Sinner? Amen. I oftentimes tell them that that's one of the songs I would like to be sang at my home going. In other words, those that overlive me, I would like for that song to be an inspiration to those that remain. The other one is No, Not One. Oh, we all going to leave here. No need us thinking we not. But God has a glorious, I don't know if you can even call it future, because it already is. It just hasn't been manifested to us. The book of 2 Timothy, chapter 1, verses 7 through 11. Ella Liverman is our designated reader. And we're going to speak to you today regarding, I'm sure you've heard it pretty much alluded to, if not outright mentioned at this point, God's eternal purpose. Or God's purpose is in eternity or in eternality. God's purpose is an eternal purpose. God's purpose is not in time. It's an eternal purpose. The manifestations of his eternal purpose are manifested or shown in time. Now, I'm going to be mentioning different terms, so I might as well, as I go along, give you a concise definition of those terms. Now, you heard me mention manifestation or manifested. That means that which is shown or revealed, manifested. And eternal or eternity. Eternity is without beginning or end, which you know. It's everlasting, but here's what many of God's people may not know. Eternity is timeless. It's timeless. It is forever the same. It is unchangeable. And there's no sequencing in eternity. Amen. First, second, third, this, then that, then no. That's in time, not eternity. So eternity is without time, is forever the same. Now we're going to ask Elder Liverman to read first from the King James Version, and then we're going to go to the Greek interlineal, and then we're going to exegete. We must have Bible exegesis if we are going to understand what God's Word is actually saying. We got to exegete. Exegesis in its normal form means literary interpretation. But scriptural exegesis is scriptural interpretation. And interpretation is bringing out the literal meaning of what is being said. So we have to go to the original language and deduce or glean the literal meaning of what God's word is saying so that we can have the right comprehension. The Bible was not written in English. Matter of fact, the Bible was written, the English language as we know it, was not really spoken when the scriptures were actually written. But the Bible was written in Greek. So we go to the Greek language and extract the meaning of the words in the Greek language so that we can get the right comprehension and conveyance of what the Word of God is actually teaching. No, you don't have to be saved. I mean, you don't have to know what the Bible is actually saying or the Greek language to be saved. But we're going to cover that as we get into the scriptures. Amen. Now, Elder Liverman, as I said, we're going to begin reading from the King James Version, 2 Timothy 1 and 7, and then we'll read from the Greek interlineal. But I want you to cast your hearing upon a casual reading of it from the King James Version, and we are going to go into exegesis in order to bring the correct conveyance to you. All right, Elder, begin reading.
2 Timothy chapter 1, mm-hmm. beginning with the 7th verse.
Mm-hmm.
For God hath not given us the spirit of fear,
mm-hmm.
but of power and of love and of a sound mind.
Yes.
Verse 8. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner,
mm-hmm.
but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God.
Now, this is Paul's final letter. It is personally to his young understudy, Timothy, but it's to the household of God all. It is to us, the body of Christ. And so this is why Paul said, be thou therefore not ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner. And Paul was in prison now, and the Lord had revealed unto him, it is evident, that he would not be getting out of prison this time. So this is a personal conveyance, and yet a letter also to the body of Christ. It's just that Timothy is being personally addressed. But it is to the body of Christ, as all of Paul's writings are. All right, verse 9.
Who hath saved us,
mm-hmm.
and called us with a holy calling,
mm-hmm.
not according to our own works,
yes,
but according to his own purpose and grace which was given to us in Christ Jesus before the world began.
Oh, listen to the word. Go ahead, Ella.
But is now made manifest
mm-hmm.
by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ,
mm-hmm.
who hath abolished death.
Wow, what's he saying there? He's abolished death, and all of us going to die. We're going to tell you what it means. Amen. We're going to use exegesis and go to the literal meaning and deduce what the Lord is actually saying, the actual conveyance. Read, Ella. Hath abolished death.
And hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel.
And we're going to find out what gospel that is. Hallelujah. There's not just one gospel or good news or good message in the Bible, as so many of us have been taught. There are seven messages in the Bible, or good messages in the Bible. And they go along with the seven dispensations. Dispensation is an administration or a house rule, such as in Michigan, in the state house, we are under the, what's our governor's name? Snyder administration or dispensation. In the city of Detroit, we are under the Dave Bing administration, house rule, or dispensation. And in Washington, D.C., we were under the Bush administration, but now we're under the Obama administration. And so there are seven dispensations in the Bible in which God dealt with his people and assigned to those seven dispensations. Each one carried their own covenant or contract that God made with his elect in that respective dispensation. We are now, according to Ephesians chapter 3, verses 1 through 11, we are now in the grace dispensation. And each of those dispensations had or will have a federal head. In innocence and conscience, the federal head was Adam. In human government, it was Noah. In promise, it was Abraham. In law, it was Moses. In grace, it is not Peter, the Apostle Paul. Read Ephesians chapter 3, verses 1 through 11. And in kingdom, the future kingdom on earth, thy kingdom come on earth, it will be the Lord Jesus Christ. So each one has a covenant with the dispensation. Did you read verse 11, Ella? Through the light, immortality to light, through the gospel, verse 11.
Whereunto I am appointed a preacher,
mm-hmm.
and an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles.
I'll go to Galatians chapter 2, verse 7 through 9, eventually, and show you that an example that there are different gospels. There's gospel, amen, of the kingdom, and there's a gospel of the grace of God that will be shown in the second chapter of Galatians. Now, Ella, let's read 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 from the interlineal text. And if you all don't have the interlineal, which most of you probably do not, just follow along in the King James Version. Now, we are going to use exegesis according to the Greek grammar, the tenses, the moods of the Greek grammar. You see, there's been so much preaching to God's people. We've been preached up, preached down, preached out. We've been squalled at and hooped and hollered at and all that. I'm not saying nothing wrong with that, but God's people have not been adequately taught.
Amen.
So there must be teaching in the preaching of Christ's gospel, so that God's people won't be off on a tangent or an illusion, but we will know what thus saith the Lord, and we will know when the word of God is speaking to us or to someone else. All of God's word is true. From Genesis to Revelation, all of it's true, but all of it is not truth for you. Us. You're looking at me funny. Let me give you an example. In the 11th chapter of the book of Leviticus, the Lord commanded Israel, said that you may eat of everything in the waters, but the thing that does not have scales, but it has fins. If it don't have scales, but yet have fins, you can don't eat it because it is unclean unto you. Now, at my last recollection, a catfish, he got fins, but he don't have scales. Now, this is a rhetorical question. Has anybody in here ever, you don't have to raise your hand, anybody ever ate catfish? If you have, you have sinned according to the law. That was not to us. That was to Israel. In the book of 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, and I believe around the 25th verse, Paul said, whatsoever is sold in the shambles or the meat market, that eat. Asking no question for conscience sake. You can eat anything if your gullet and your stomach can stand it. There are no dietary restrictions in the grace administration. So tell some of our brothers that believe that you got to eat, can't eat meat and this and that and the other, in grace, lovingly inform them of that. That is for Israel. That's not for members of the body of Christ in the grace dispensation. All right, Elder. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, interlineal Greek text. Just listen carefully, and we'll break it down for you. But hold on, Ella. Before I do that, let me read this. Our pastor always have an introduction, so I think it's only proper that I give you an introduction before we go into the scripture exegesis and expounding. All of us, including our children, have within our lifetime on earth come face to face and identified with and come to grips with this entity called purpose. All of us. It is defined in the dictionary as intention. This is purpose now. It is defined as intention, design, aim, or that intended. However, in the created entity in which we live, in physicality, called time. Yes, time is a creation. Remember, eternity is timeless. God is eternal. And eternity is without time. It is timeless. So time has to be a creation of God. Or we can call it that we live in physicality, the time capsule in our physical bodies with all the events, incidents, problems, hindrances, setbacks, incapacities, and inabilities, plus the constant changes that go along with and in time. Remember, again, in eternality, there is no change, no sequencing. Forever the same. The constant changes that go along with and in time, or the time capsule. We see often, our intentions hindered, our designs derailed, our aims missing the target by a mile or country mile, and in all that our purpose or purposes, in all that our purposes are oftentimes not accomplished. Let me give you an example. I was intended to have X amount of dollars saved in my 401k when I retired. I missed it by a state mile, not a country mile. I missed it.
That was my intention. That was my aim.
Now, don't you all go amiss and put a little something aside. Don't do like I did. Amen. But that's what happened to me. But our best intentions, we do not have the power nor the resources to accomplish them. God has to accomplish any aims that we have. And if it's not in accordance with His will, it ain't happening. Hallelujah. But with God, I like this, our Heavenly Father, the Almighty, Eternal, All-Knowing, Sovereign, that's supreme, power and authority, His eternal purpose, God's eternal purpose, is not within the possibility of failure. It's not. God's purpose will, amen, be done. Whatever He has purposed, He will see the fruition of it in manifestation. Being, it will not be thwarted, and it will be accomplished. Why? Because everything that is, that truly exists, in the stable, unchanging, remember, no sequencing, no change in eternity, in the stable, unchanging realm of eternality, is not a work in progress. God is not doing things as He go along. We will see it when I give exegesis from the scripture. If it seem like it in other parts of the Bible, that is that the writing and the information is given in light of the knowledge of that particular covenant. But our covenant and the knowledge of our covenant, the grace covenant, is superior to all the other covenants. No surprise. We are the only ones that are members of the body of Christ. We are His body. God has not given us one inch, promised us one inch of real estate on this earth, but He has promised us, according to Ephesians 1 and 3, and I'm calling these scriptures, so if anybody wants to write them down, check it out. He has blessed us with each and every blessing spiritual in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. All that is Christ, yes, is ours, according to the scriptures. God's work is not a work in progress or being accomplished, but a work that's finished.
Yes.
It's done. Completed, unchanging, everlasting, the same. So rejoice with me, church, children of God, members of the body of Christ, as the Holy Spirit, I pray, will impress this knowledge, this enlightenment, this comprehension to your spirits today as we examine and I expound these precious truths to you. Even now, Elder, 2 Timothy, 1st chapter, verse 7, from the interlinear Greek text, please begin.
2 Timothy, chapter 2, verse 7, interlinear Greek.
Mm-hmm.
For
not gave to us God
a spirit of cowardice.
But of power. Hold it right there, Ella. For not gave or have given unto us the God. This verb, have given, is what we call an indicative aorist. The indicative mood is a fact. A fact is a thing that's done or finished. Otherwise, how could it be a fact? It's a thing that's done or finished. And then
it's in what in the Greek is called the aorist tense. The aorist tense is what, Elder? Not a past begun action, but a past completed, done, finished, completed action. So it says, for not God have given us the God a spirit of cowardice or timidity, but of power. And I can tell you right now, we oftentimes thought that God had given our spirit a spirit of power for us to do this and that or the other. Read on, finish that, Ellen. Finish that verse.
But of power and of love.
And of love.
And of self-control.
And now, how many times we have lost control? Since we've been saved. I lost it out in Oakland County. He's talking about the Holy Spirit of God, which the Lord have done in eternity. It's there since. It's done. It's a fact. It's finished. He have given us before we ever came on the scene in this. Before the doctor ever slapped us and we said, God in eternality. In the spirit decreed his spirit unto us. But the spirit is a spirit of power and of love and of sound judgment or the ability to judge. What has been shared abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost? The love of God. By the Holy Ghost, not us. Sometimes we don't even like each other.
That's it.
I'm talking about saints. Praise God. Sometimes, before we even get to the world, sometimes in the body of Christ, we disdain each other. But this is speaking of the Holy Spirit. All right, verse 8, Ella.
Verse 8.
Uh-huh.
Not therefore. Be thou ashamed. The testimony of the Lord.
Hold it right there, Ella. This being ashamed or ashamed is what we call a subjunctive aorist, and it's in the passive voice.
Yes.
I'm going to go backwards. The passive voice is that it is done to you. You all know some people in your school days or in your school now that are more passive than, what, proactive?
Uh-huh.
They are passive.
Right.
You call them names, they don't call you one back. But there are some folk, you call them a name and they tell you right away, you're another one. And some of them go home with you. I mean, speaking of your home. But the passive voice means that it was done to us. We didn't do this. The aorist tense, as Elder just said, it's a past completed action. When? In eternity, where everything is stable and no change, and where the Lord abide in the accommodated essence of eternality. Then it's a subjunctive aorist. Meaning, a subjunctive mood is a probability.
Mm-hmm.
But the determination, according to the aorist tense, is in eternity. But the subjunctive or probability is how it may or might manifest, or if it manifests, it has to manifest for us to know it in time. The subjunctive aorist. So, not therefore, he's saying to Timothy, and this is the second, I know it's Timothy because it's the second person singular. Paul is speaking, and he's speaking to his son in the gospel, Timothy.
Yes, he is.
If it were Paul and he were referring to himself, it would be first person singular. If he were referring to the saints, it would be the second person plural, second person singular. Not therefore, may be, having been made ashamed, how it might manifest. And if it manifests in time, it's because of the aorist tense, it was decreed in eternity. It cannot manifest except in it's according to that which is decreed. Not just being ashamed, but anything. It can't manifest except in God had spoken it or decreed it into existence. Nothing. What's that thing in the middle of the proton and neuton, that little thing we were talking about in ministers' meeting? A widget, or what is it? Anyway, even the smallest, minutest of entities cannot manifest except in God had called it into existence. Not ashamed of what, Elder?
Not ashamed of the testimony.
The testimony.
Of the Lord.
Of the Lord.
Of us.
Of us. Hold it right there, Elder. I'm going to preach and teach as I go. Not ashamed, Paul is saying to Timothy, of the testimony of the Lord of us. This word testimony, it means also witness. It means evidence or proof. The testimony is the witness or evidence of the real deal or the reality. The reality is in God's decree, what God has decreed. What you see, in this case, is the testimony of the Lord, which he's speaking of the gospel that they preach. The testimony is the witness or the proof or the evidence of what God had decreed from eternity. It's the testimony of the Lord of us. And what else?
Nor of me. The prisoner of him.
The prisoner of him. Hold it again, Elder. Don't be ashamed of the test, maybe having been ashamed of the testimony of the Lord of us, nor of me, the prisoner of him. Now, Paul, I think I alluded to it in the beginning, Paul is in prison now, and he's there for the last time. This time, he won't be getting out. He won't be let out, kicked out, put out. He won't be leaving. He will be executed after this prison stay. But he says, nor of me the prisoner of the Lord. Now here he is in prison. But yet, he said, don't be ashamed of the testimony of nor of me, the prisoner of him. Paul realized he was more a prisoner of the Lord than he was of the Roman jailers. Yes. Though he was locked and bound,
yes,
he alluded to being a prisoner of the Lord, though he was in stocks. Now, saints of God, some of you have heard this time and again from this pulpit, my pastor and other ministers, and they get it scripturally, else they wouldn't put it forth verbally. You are more who you are in the body of Christ than you are in these physical bodies. I don't care what age you are. This is what Paul is saying. We are more who we are in the body of Christ than we are who we are on our job or our profession or whatever our station of life is, or our talents, or whatever, or our kinships. We are more who we are in the body of Christ than we are to each other in marriage and everything. You know why? This is all manifestation. It is what is shown,
yes,
as God spoke it into, yes, existence.
Uh-huh.
Yes, even the marriage vow. Oh, they might not be doing it other places, but I think our pastor's still doing it. until death do us part. And that's the dissolution of all of our earthly assignments. They are dissolved in our death. We have no more connection with our job, our family, our spouses, our children. No more connection in physicality. Those are only earthly assignments. Hallelujah.
Yes.
But we are of the body of Christ from eternity or in eternality.
Yes, amen.
We are in the body of Christ. Hallelujah. Nor me the prisoner of him, but what?
Nor me the prisoner of him.
Here I go
but
again.
Suffer ill will.
But suffer ill with. Now, it seems like Paul is talking about Timothy go on and suffer, speaking from a standpoint of time. This is why we have to exegete the scriptures. We have to exegete to get the exact saying what the Holy Spirit is trying to convey or intending to convey unto us. Again, not to be saved, which you'll find out soon as I go forward, not to be saved, but this is God's conveyance to his people because we are saved, and he wants us to have the right cogitation or thinking in dealing with the surrounding, the corrupt, depraved surrounding that he has manifested his children in, which is the environment of creation and time. But suffering, no. It is an aorist imperative. Now, some of y'all in here, y'all went to 13th grade. I just went to 12th. You went to 4th, some went to 14th and 15th grade. You know what the imperative tense is, don't you? Hallelujah. It is a command. But it's in the aorist tense. It's a past completed command. Before we were ever manifested in flesh, before the sun and the moon and the stars and the universe was manifested, this is what God commanded, and it's in the second person singular, that means to Timothy, as Paul conveyed it to Timothy, he has commanded that Timothy endure suffering. Paul's understudy in the gospel. And if he was hanging out with Paul, it stands to reason that he was suffering because Paul went from one tribulation, one suffering to the other. And if you traveled close with him, the dust was going to get on you too. But having suffered, what elder?
But suffer ill will.
Ill with?
The gospel.
The gospel. Now, here, the gospel is in what we call the dative case. The dative case is the indirect object. You have two instances of the dative case. You have the locative in the sphere of and the instrumental by the means of. This would be in the sphere of the gospel. Their suffering was in the sphere of the gospel. Paul wanted Timothy to be encouraged for what he would suffer in his communicating the gospel, just like Paul did. He would suffer. So, in the sphere of the gospel, but what, elder?
In the sphere of the gospel, according to the power of God.
The power of God. Accusative case is the direct object. His suffering in the gospel is according to the power of God. This is what God had decreed. Praise God for this young man. And same thing in your life, saints. You're going through things. You're going through commotions and upheavals, ups and downs, and vicissitudes of life. These are not happening stances. These are not accidents. These are things that God has spoken regarding you or decreed regarding you in your earthly existence, in physicality, in the created entity of time.
Yes.
So this is why we say around this church, when some strange, seemingly strange incident unfavorable incident happen to you, we learn not to say, and this comes with maturation, maturity. We learn not to say, oh my God, what is this? Not that, but Lord, what is this for? What is this for? Timothy, this is not the subjunctive aorist, as we saw up there, probability. This is an aorist imperative. The Lord had commanded Timothy suffering in the gospel. In it. And he has decreed suffering unto us in our course of life, or our earthly assigned courses of life in physicality. God has decreed suffering. Of course. Paul said, I fought the good fight, I finished my course. Now, if you got a course, you don't just take off running and run anywhere you want to. A course is a prescribed route with prescribed obstacles or whatever on the way. You run this way, you go so far, and you turn that way, and you go so far, and you climb up there, and you go so far, and you come back down that side. That's a course. You don't just take off running in life. I do what I want. God has prescribed a course for each of us. Yes. And we are following it to the nth degree.
Yes, right.
I didn't say go follow it. We are following it and have followed it to the nth degree. The things that are distasteful to us in life, they were decreed of God.
That's right.
They were ordained of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I'm just exegeting the word now. If you just want me to just read some, run to the Old Testament, pick out some, run back to the New, and then start, I can't squall. I'll do that. But we want to know the correct, accurate conveyance of what the scripture is actually teaching us. Because too many years we have been led to think like this, and by this whim of non-exegetical preaching, thinking like that, and we have been thinking wrong. I thought I had to get saved when I was a younger man. I thought I had to get saved. I didn't know I was saved in eternity. I didn't know that, Sister Ruth. Hallelujah. Until I was shown the word of God, and it was properly exegetically explained to me, I didn't know it. Verse 9, Elder.
Verse 9.
All right, read the last phrase of verse 8, and then go right into verse 9.
The gospel, according to
the power of God.
The power of God.
Of the having saved us.
Of the having saved us, or the one having saved us. I got to stop you again, Ella. The one having saved us, because it's in a genitive case, showing possession or ownership, and it's singular. The one, that's where we get the one. The one having saved us. Now, that shoots down you getting saved. The one having saved us. It's in aorist tense. It's a complete act. It was done in the secure, unchanging realm of eternality.
Amen.
So in the 70s, you didn't get saved. Or the 50s, or whenever. You were saved in God's decree in eternality.
Oh,
it was manifested to you in the 70s or whenever. That's when you realize that you belong to him. But you were saved from eternity.
Yes.
You were saved in eternity, from eternity. You were secure in eternity, whether you knew it or not. You were saved. And if you save, that means you save. Now, I'm not talking about in physicality. You run out, get an accident, and get killed. That's also ordained of God. precious in the eyes of the Lord is the what?
Death.
Death. Say it loud, Ella.
Death of his saints.
Death of his saints. We prioritize time. We wake up in the morning, go to work. Oh, yeah. Lord. Get home, got to eat. Go out and watch a little TV or do some homework before we go back to work. We prioritize time. Got to go to school, got to go to high school, college, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Got to get to bed, got to get enough sleep. But God prioritizes eternity. He prioritized eternity. When the Lord takes one of his own, whether unborn, stillborn, mentally incompetent, never heard, and I'm going to prove this, never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, when he take us out of here, praise God, we are safely in the arms of the Lord, however we leave here, however we leave here. Now, I said something there, I got to back it up. I say, him that have never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, if you would, I'll tell you what, let me get this first one in here and I'll deal with that. Ella, of the having saved us, what?
Of the having saved us and having called.
And having called us also, aorist tense, past completed action. And it's the gentrification and possession of ownership. The Lord did it. It's singular. You didn't help God. Nowhere along the way. Nowhere. You didn't help him. This is all God doing. What did Jonah 2 and 9 say? For corroboration. Corroboration is when you go to another place and get witness to bring in, to confirm and strengthen the main testimony. So if we go out of our gospel, which is Paul's 14 epistles, into another area of the Bible, we go there to corroborate, because everything don't agree.
That's right.
Jonah 2 and 9 said salvation is of the Lord, not the Lord and us. Salvation belongeth and is of the Lord. Hallelujah. All right, Ella, and having called.
And having saved us and having called.
Called is the aorist tense. God called us with an eternal calling. And in that calling, what?
Called with the holy.
With the holy.
Not according.
Hold it right there, Ella. With the holy, or a set apart. This don't mean long dresses, saints. No makeup, nappy hair. Wearing your glasses down here. This ain't what that mean. It mean that you were set apart in eternity. That's having called. Aorist tense. Completed action in the confines of eternality. Calling set apart. God's call sanctified us. God's call set us apart. God's call consecrated us. It separated us. Just being called. You know how it is when you chose somebody to be on your side for a team. You say, I pick him. He consecrated to you or set apart to you. And that's what God's call in eternity did. Not in time. Read on, Ella.
Not according.
All right, hold on to something. This is going to get you.
Numbers.
Not according. Call set us apart, sanctified us, not according, what?
Not according
to the works of us. To the works of us. Hold it right there again, Elder. Not according to the works of us. I don't care how long you've been preached that you the sinner's prayer, baptism, how you baptized, Mona's bench. It makes no difference how long you've heard that kind of preaching.
Amen.
And I'm not saying that the ones preached it are lost. No. If we had to be saved based on what we know, not. We were called in eternity, set apart, sanctified,
not according to the works of us. Bear with me a minute. Indulge. Somebody said, I indulge you this long. Not with reference to your works. Not corresponding to your works. Not so as to your works. Not in the same way of your works. Not together with your works. Not for the purpose of your works. Not about your works. It ain't about that. Not upon your works. Not along with your works. Not through your works. Not toward your works. Not near your works. Not bordering on your works. Not even close on the fringes with your works. Not with your works. Not by means of your works. Not for the purpose of your works did he call and save us. Not because of your works. Not down from your works. Not over against your works. Not by your works. Not. He saved us, called us, sanctified us, set us apart. Not according to our works. That's what the scripture says. Not according to the works of us. And Paul put himself with us in that. He used the first person plural, mean all of us, not by the works of any of us. And he used the genitive case. What I said the genitive does, it shows possession or ownership. So that lets you know extra wise that it's not according to that which belonged to us.
That's it.
Hold on to something again. And that includes your faith.
Yeah, that's it.
Hear what I say? Your faith.
Yeah.
It is the faithfulness of Jesus Christ that saved us.
Amen.
Read on, Elder. I think I can go on now. But you all in the medical profession, stand near. Watch me. Read on, Elder.
And not according to the works of us, but according to...
But rather. Now, here's what we call a superordinating conjunction.
Yeah.
Not that. But Lord have mercy, get a hold of this. Superordinating conjunction. Introducing something that really wouldn't it go in it. But rather, not that according to our works, but what again, Elder?
But according to his own purpose.
Oh,
and glory
to God. Hold it right there, Elder. But according to his own purpose.
And grace.
And grace, purpose, his own intention, purpose, his own design, purpose, his own desire, purpose, his own aim. He saved us according to his own purpose. It pleased him. How could it please God to save a sinner like me? That's why I love the song. It tells the truth about me. Only a sinner. Saved by grace. The grace of God. His own purpose. And then the next word, conjunction, is and. It's a coordinating conjunction. It introduces a phrase of like or equal strength. Purpose? Yeah. But also saved us according to his grace. His grace. His kindness, his mercy, his goodwill, and it's a gift. Grace is not without merit. Grace means no merit. He saved us totally without merit in eternality. Before you were ever here as a little kid and grew up and done anything good or bad, God saved us, not according to any works, That thing about my sins be on my mama till I get such and such age, throw it out the window. We were saved in eternity by God, according to His purpose. You can't do anything to get saved. God saved us without works. Praise His name. What could you do when you weren't here in the flesh? He did it all.
Amen.
He did it all. Hallelujah. All right. Moving on. According to His own purpose and grace. What, Elder?
And grace given to us in Christ Jesus.
Given.
Before times eternal.
Given to us in Christ Jesus. Hold it right there. It was given to us. It's a gift. You all know what a gift is. When you receive something without merit, without something you done. That's what happened to go down at Christmas time. They ain't really gifts. We give to our pastor, our teacher, our son, our daughter, our wife. A true gift, amen, is a gift to someone that's totally out of the realm of being able to repay. But all they can do is say thanks. I was given a gift. It's an expression of grace. I was given a gift the other day. I didn't expect it. I certainly didn't deserve it. But I didn't know I had it coming. But I was given it. You might not have known in your earlier time of not understanding that God had saved you. But now that you recognize it or realize it, all you can say now is thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. All right. He saved us. And His grace that was given us, aorist tense, and the passive voice again. Passive voice means it was done to you. It was given us. Salvation was given us. Grace was given us. And again, it's in the aorist tense. A completed action. In eternity. Given us in Christ Jesus what, Elder?
Before times eternal.
Before time.
Yes.
Before time. Before time was created. It was given us. Salvation was given us. And it says it right here. There it is. Even in the King James Version. It says eternal. Eternal.
Yes.
No change. No sequencing. No time. God saved us. Before time.
Thank God. Yes,
eternal. You got to exegete this. Well, to get the right conveyance, you've got to exegete the scriptures to bring out the literal interpretation or meaning that the Lord intended. Not to be saved, but to enjoy your salvation and be able to withstand the trials of this life.
Yes.
Do you know that all creation is cursed? And you know that being in these bodies, they are cursed because according to 2 Corinthians, was it 2 and 5? Or 5 and 2 Corinthians 5, I believe it is. Amen. When these bodies are destroyed, they will be destroyed. We have a building, singular. Singular. Speaking of the body of Christ. We have a building of God, not made with hands, eternal in the heavenlies. We have that right now. You know the only thing that's not? Is not manifested. It's not shown to us right now. We are abiding right now in earth consciousness.
Yes.
Sight, smell, hearing, tasting, touching. Earth consciousness, what God has given us in physicality. When you depart from these bodies, you don't need those earthly temporary senses any longer.
Oh, no.
You'll be in spirituality.
Amen.
Here we are limited. We are finite.
Amen.
There we are unlimited, infinite.
Amen.
And that's why we hold on and grasp on to things so dearly, because the flesh wants fleshly things.
I hear you.
The flesh loves the things of physicality.
That's right. Yes.
It go after them. That's why the Word of God comes, amen, to enlighten us in our spirit, inform us in the spirit of our mind that this is not it. Because flesh will leave here sometime kicking and screaming. Ah! But it's your spirit that longs for the Lord, not your flesh.
Amen.
It likes what it likes.
That's right.
You know, there's against the spirit and the flesh, the struggle. The spirit pulling us to the things of God and the flesh pulling us to... Hallelujah. Ella, verse 10. Verse 10.
Verse 10.
Again.
But manifested.
Now.
Through the appearance of the Savior of us. Christ Jesus.
It identifies who the Savior is.
Abrogate.
Hold up, Ella. But having made known. Not manifested. In the sense of present. But this is from God's decree. Saints of God, we have another saying here from the scriptures, Hebrews 11:3. Hebrews 11:3. Got that? It's not in the seeing, but it's in the saying of God. It's not in our seeing a thing exists, but it's in God's saying. If God has spoken it, it exists in the saying or the decree. Whether we see it or not. Not a thing we see, we think we see it, and it ain't what we think we see. Having made known, having revealed or shown, this is an aorist tense again. God, again, is not doing stuff regarding us as we go along. It's already done. In eternity. Where we are actually means real existence, where we actually abide right now in eternality in the body of Christ in the spirit. Now you're thinking, I'm sitting here in church. Saints of God, the laws of physicality and the laws of spirituality are farther than the east from the west. In spirituality, you are unlimited of space and there is no time. In spirituality. But in physicality, you can only be one place at a time. You said it in your lifetime. I can't be two places at once. You can only occupy so much space. Everybody in the church can't get on the middle of that pew right there where Sister Debbie's sitting. In physicality. But in spirituality, you have a different set of principles of life and existence. Having made known, and it's the passive voice, God decreed it unto us. We didn't get it. I got it. God gave it to you. Passive voice means that which is done to us, not what we did. Having made known, through or by means of the appearing of the Savior of us, or having been made known now. Now is in manifestation. God decreed that we would know, and then he manifested by the appearing of the Savior of us on Calvary's cross.
Yes.
But he decreed that his children, whom it was decreed to, would know. Now, going back to the person that never heard of Christ. We were called without works. We were saved in eternity without works. That is how the person, the mentally incompetent, you're not going to sit down and
preach the gospel comprehensively to the mentally incompetent. You're not going to sit down to a babe that just been born and preach the gospel comprehensively for them to understand and get saved. You may not make it to the farthest shores to preach the gospel to those that are ignorant, and ignorant just meaning not knowing, never heard of Christ. God is not dependent on the events or the course of time. He has saved us in eternity without works. Now, I'm finna make it more down the home. You cannot say, I had to come to grips with this myself, so I ain't nowhere. You can't say that the one that strapped bombs around his waist and blow up a whole bunch of people, you cannot say that that was not a child of God. You cannot say it to save your life and be real. What do you think Paul's occupation was before he became the Apostle Paul? Sunday school teacher? You think he was like Mother Teresa? He killed. He didn't just go around at random like a vigilante, killing bad folk that steal and rob. He specifically employed himself in killing Christians that believed on the Lord. That's who he sought out. That's who he hounded. That's who he brought to justice before the high priest and had him killed. If he didn't do it with his own hand, he was an accessory to murder because he was consenting unto their death. And you know he did it with Stephen also, the brother in the kingdom church. Yes, that was the kingdom church. The grace church had not been revealed, manifested. It had been decreed, but not manifested. The grace church was manifested at the manifestation of Paul's salvation and his becoming a minister of the gospel. Y'all remember? And his gospel was primarily to the Gentiles. You remember in the 9th chapter of the book of Acts when he told Ananias to go pray for Saul that he received his sight? Now, I ain't going to pray for him. He killed folk. The Lord said, go, he's a chosen vessel unto me to declare my name. Who you think he put first? Gentiles. Uh-huh. Gentiles. Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel, because that was the dispensation that he would head up, which was is primarily made up of Gentiles. Now, the Jewish church is primarily Israel and those Gentiles that are joined to Israel, such as Cornelius' household. Amen. What did Jesus say when the Syrophoenician woman came to him to heal her daughter? He says, not meet or fitting to give the children's bread unto dogs. Yeah. But Lord help me. And he said, he went further. He put it right on the line. I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Although he gave her blessing unto her. But he made it plain to her. That's the kingdom church of which Peter might have headed up, have been the foremost person. In the grace church, the grace dispensation, the grace gospel, the head of the grace dispensation was the Apostle Paul. Reading on. Read on, Ella. Amen. I got one more point I got to bring out.
Manifest
now through the appearing of the Savior of us,
Christ Jesus,
through the gospel and the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the manifestation of the eternal working.
Abrogating on one hand.
Abrogating or having done away with on the one hand.
Death.
The death.
Bringing to light.
And having given light. Here that error stents again.
On
having
the other light.
With error stents. Having done, on the one hand, death, and on the other, given light, what?
And incorruption through the gospel.
And life and imperishability through the good news to which I was appointed a preacher and an apostle. Paul preached the gospel of the grace of God. He did not amen, preached law, amen. He was a minister of the gospel of the grace of God. He was not signed to law. He was not signed, even though he preached the Jews mostly first. He was assigned, amen, to the grace church made up primarily of Gentiles. The Lord have done away with. He have rendered ineffective, on the one hand, death regarding you and I. He have nullified death regarding us. He have canceled out death. He have destroyed death. He have abolished death concerning us. He has ceased death from being effective. He has released us from death. He done cut us off from death. And he did death in and got rid of death concerning us. Here you go again. You saying in your mind, what the preacher talking about? I'm going to die one day. He is not talking about you in your temporary manifested physical body. That is not what God prioritized. He is prioritizing and talking about you as a member from eternity without time, no time in it, a member of the body of Christ. Not who we are in the flesh. We are going to die according to the flesh. But according to the eternal spirit, no death. Nothing but joy. Do you know, saints, that you've already been glorified? Read Romans 8 and around the 28th or 30th verse. You have been justified. Amen. Cleared as though you were righteous. We've been given the righteousness of Christ. You have been glorified. You know the only thing about having been already glorified? We are still in earthly conscious and it hadn't been manifested to us. But the moment we are taken from these physical, earthly, temporary bodies, amen, we will receive eternal spiritual consciousness.
Yes.
And we will be glorified where we always were in the body of Christ. Saints of God, we think that we are born and come into the world and that's the beginning of our existence. No, 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 no. That's the manifestation of your temporary existence in the flesh that God decreed in eternity for you to manifest a certain time and a space of time.
Yes.
In physicality in time.
Yes.
But we were members of the body of Christ in eternity. God purposed it. Everything regarding our lives is purpose of God. So saints of God, let's take heart. We are blessed.
Yes.
We are safe. We are secure. We're going to leave here anyway. But precious in the eyes of the Lord is the death of his saints.
That's right.
We prioritize time because of physicality. The physical love time and everything in it. Money and all that other stuff. But our spirits long to be free into eternality and immortality. As we are right now. Is just not manifested to us while we are in earthly physical consciousness. God will change it like that. God bless you.
Amen. Amen.